Thank you, Brother Timmy. I'm thankful for Calvary. You say amen. Amen. I appreciate Brother Timmy sharing that song with us this morning. The choir, wonderful. Good to see all of you this morning. Thank you for being here. And I've got a lot of comments on my new Christmas suit. Amen. Thank you. And my shirt that Katie picked out for me. And Connie said that's something that G.P. Benson would wear. And I thought that was a compliment. Amen. I appreciate the good blessings of the Lord. Find in your Bible, Genesis chapter number 30. Excuse me. Genesis chapter number 30. I've been going back through, started back over in January, of course, going through devotionally. And I read this verse that's been a blessing to my heart several times. I hope it and be a blessing to you. And I'll just read one verse this morning, if you will, please. Look in Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you this morning for the blessed privilege of being here. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost this morning would bless as we look at the Word of God. Our Father, there's no good thing in any of us, but God, I pray especially that this morning you touch and fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Our Father, this great crowd here in the building this morning, the vast radio audience and the internet audience, God, I pray we'd hear from heaven. God, not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to your mercy, you saved us. And Father, we plead that mercy and grace that God, that you speak to hearts now. And God, I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Over my life, now you wouldn't believe this, but over my life, I have done a lot of dumb things. If you want to know a few, just ask my wife and she'll be glad to tell you about all the dumb things I've ever done. I remember one time when I was just a boy growing up, I didn't know anything about anything and don't know much about anything now. But I remember that we had around Christmas time, that's why I thought about this, because Christmas time, I was just a little fella and I was putting up the lights, helping mama put the lights up. And somehow or another, something was wrong with some of them outside, they wouldn't work. And so I decided I'd fix it. And so I took my old pocket knife and I skinned all the wires back and I just twisted all the wires together, just put them all together at one particular point, instead of having positive, negative, going back and forth and all that, I just put them all together. And I plugged it in. And not only did those lights not work, but nothing in the house worked. It blowed everything. And that's the day when we had fuses. I mean, I shut the whole operation down. Well, I learned by experience that I am not an electrician. And you learn a lot of things by experience. I remember when I was down in Florida, I hate to even tell this, when I was a little boy, I got on a hog wire. It was an electric fence. And it was the craziest thing you've ever seen. I had an old dog, and the stupid dog wouldn't jump over the fence. So I was going to mound up some dirt for him so he could walk over it and step over it. And he's standing there looking at me like I was an idiot. But anyhow, I was doing that. And so I was trying to get it up there. And about the time I got it right to the top, I thought I just smoothed the dirt up under it so it'd be good and packed. And when I did, I got my hand up under there between that and the dirt. And I tell you, that dog, I hollered. He left. I don't know where he went. But we had a time. I learned by experience that you don't mess with that. And if a dog wants to go somewhere, just let him go on his own. And so I learned that. But what I was going to tell you, when I was down in Florida pastoring, as this old man down in Mr. Dice, and he's old time, and he'd build barbed wire fences. And when his son, who Bernard, put up some hog wire, put up some hot wire around the pasture there, and trying to keep the hogs in. And had a lot of hot wire right around where they were feeding at. And had this one little old pig that learned that thing pulses. He learned by experience. And so it pulsed and pulsed. And that, I don't know how that pig knew it, but he could, well, he'd go right through it just right. And so old Brother Dice, his daddy, he just didn't know much about hot wires and nothing. He said, I'm going to teach that pig a lesson. So the next time he got out, he picks him up and he walks over there and he holds the pig in his hand. And he stuck his nose to that hog wire. Well, when that thing hit that pig, of course, it went right on through into old Mr. Dice. And I wasn't standing there, but Bernard said he knew what was fixing to happen, but he didn't think it'd kill his daddy, so he's going to let him learn a lesson. So he put it in there, and he said, but the funny thing is, when that thing hit him, he throwed that pig, and he said, we've never seen that pig again. I don't know where he went to. I the funniest story I've ever learned about experience, it was learned by a goat. And LaVon, is he here? Was he? LaVon told me years ago they used to cut dynamite, cut sticks of dynamite, put it up on a lighted stump and blow them up. And he said they had over here across the road, the old aggravatingest goat you've ever seen. Said he, if you turn your back on him, he'd butt you. And he's always into everything. And he said one day they took and they cut a stick of dynamite, put it on their stump, and said they took off running, lit it and took off running. And when they turned around and looked, that goat was standing on top of that stump. And said he was standing looking at that fuse on that stick of dynamite. And said when that thing went off, he said the stump went one way and the goat went the other. He said, and didn't kill the goat. He said, but then on, if that goat bothered you, all you had to do was say, sss. And said he'd run. He'd run. Even a goat can learn something from experience. Did you know that? Experience is a hard teacher, but it is a thorough teacher. And you can have the theory, but the experience is much better. Many of you know things about the Bible, but you've not experienced those things in the Bible. You know something about the Lord, but you've not experienced the Lord. There's a verse in the Old Testament when Moses goes back to Pharaoh. He said, you tell him God hath met with us. Now, if you've ever been in a service where God met with you, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I can't explain it to you, can't describe it to you, but if you've ever been where God showed up in a revival service or in a meeting somewhere, you know what I'm talking about when you could say, God hath met with us. Well, there's a lot of things that we learn by experience, a lot of things I have learned by experience over the years. Laban is the father-in-law here of Jacob. And you remember the story, Jacob stole his brother Esau. Jacob was actually the second born. The firstborn in Israel among a family would get all of the birthright, all the blessing of the father. He'd become kind of the administrator of the inheritance and all of that, and kind of the patriarch or the ruler of the family after the daddy died. And so what happened was that Jacob supplanted or deceived Esau, and he sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge, and he gave it to his brother Jacob. And then later in life, he deceived his own daddy, and his daddy gave him the blessing that was to go to the eldest son instead of to Esau. And so when they found out about it and the daddy died, was to die, then Jacob was afraid, and his mama told him, said, he's going to kill you. And so Jacob goes, and Esau, or his daddy, Isaac had said, I don't want you to marry among the Canaanites. And so he goes back to their family. And so Jacob goes back, and you remember the story if you know anything about the Old Testament. When he goes back, he sees this most beautiful young lady. And boy, he loves her. His name is Rachel. And he wants to marry her. And so he goes and talks with Laban. And Laban said, now keep in mind, now he's already deceived his brother twice and his daddy on top of that. And so he goes back. And he talks to Laban, and Laban said, I tell you what, he said, I'll give you Rachel to marry, but you got to work for me for 7 years, seven long years. And so he does. He works for him for 7 years. But you know what goes around has a way of coming around. And so instead of giving him Rachel, he gave him the older daughter. And I don't understand it. Said she, I think she wasn't too pretty or something. But anyhow, but he gave Leah instead. And then lo and behold, here he was. He has the older daughter instead of the one he really loved. And so Laban said, well, he said, no problem. Said, if you'll just work for me for another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. And so he did. But in the process of all this, God blesses Laban and blesses that family. And everything just increases and over again. And there's a lot more to the story. I hope you'll come on Wednesday nights, because I'm starting on Wednesday night. I'm going to do the highlights of the Old Testament, my top 10 of the Old Testament stories. And so that's what we're doing Wednesday night. But here's what I want you to understand. This man, Laban, he makes this statement. Jacob has come to the place. He said, now let me take my wives and my children. It's time for me to go. And he said, no. He said, you've been here all these years. And he said, you've worked hard. And God has blessed me because of you. He's learned from experience, he said, that God blessed me because of you. And there's some things that you and I have learned, and you could testify with me, but I want to share with you this morning some things I've learned from experience. And just as this passage of Scripture says, as Laban says, God has blessed me because of you, I can say, number one, this experience, God has blessed me because of Jesus. That's the only thing. When our little girl Christy died, my brother Howard came over and we had a chance to lead him to the Lord on that day. And here's what he said as we began the conversation after a period of time. He said, Billy, I've seen something in you and Regina and the folk from this church that I just don't have. And I said to him, I said, Howard, the only thing that I have or Regina has or the people from this church have that you don't have is Jesus. And can I say to you that every blessing that's ever come in my life has come because of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ has been the channel through which God has blessed us. In fact, Paul said this in the New Testament. He said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things. And so everything that has come my way has been because of Jesus. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you can say this, that God has been so very good to all of us because of our relationship with the Lord. I tell you, just think about, he forgave us of all of our sin. And thank God for that. In Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits. He said he forgives all of our iniquities. You think about it, because of Jesus, God forgave all of your sin. You didn't have to pay for them yourself. You didn't have to make reconciliation from all yourself. Jesus Christ bore your sin and he died for you. And because of that, because of what Jesus did, God forgave all of your sin. And thank God for that. But he said also he heals all of our diseases. Oh, God's been so good to us. But every time God's done anything in the way of physical healing, and God does that all the time. That's what God does. It came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, Brother Billy, I know so-and-so, and God chose not to heal him. I understand that. God had another plan. But really, that is the ultimate healing, isn't it? That when God chooses to take somebody to heaven, heaven's not a bad place. And when God chooses not to touch our physical bodies or to heal a loved one, but he chooses rather to take them to heaven, we ought to say, thank God they're in heaven, and thank God for that. But everything I've ever had came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've learned by experience that salvation is real. Salvation is real. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There's no way in the world that any of us could live for God. Somebody said to me, Brother Bill, I'd get saved, but I can't live the life. And I said to him, you're exactly right. There's not one person, not one person that can live the Christian life apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. But salvation is not living a life. It is experiencing a birth. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I've learned from experience, that's real. That's real. The hardest thing in the world is to try to be religious. But the simplest thing in the world is to be born again by the grace of God. And the great transformation that takes place in your life. Paul said, the things that I used to love, I now hate. And the things I used to hate, I now love. I've learned from experience that salvation is real. And just going to the church is not the answer. Baptism is not the answer. You need a change. You need to be changed to become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And what happens when the Spirit of God convicts us of sin and righteous judgment? The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God comes in our heart crying, Abba, Father, and a birth takes place. You become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Peter says you become partakers of a divine nature. Something changes inside of you. You begin to love the Word of God, love the things of God. And people say, well, I don't see how in the world people go to church all the time. Well, the thing is, I love going to the house of God. All of our flesh gets weary. We all get tired. And, but there's times that we don't feel well enough to go to the house of God. But I've never been to the house of God and said, boy, I hate I went. Whenever I go to the house of God, God begins to move and bless and work in my life. What a blessing. And thank God for that. I've learned that salvation's real. How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're saved? Our dear friend, Brother Avery Rogers, I quote him all the time. He taught me so many things. Some of you in this building can tell me the day and the hour that you got saved. You remember it that well. You remember exactly where you were at. You remember all the details. You remember the date and the time and all those things. Some of you may not can remember that. Now, I was born on October the 5th, 1946. I don't remember the time. Matter of fact, I don't remember being born. And it's not just because I'm 65 years old. I remember being young and couldn't remember being born. It used to bother me that I couldn't remember my birth. But that doesn't mean I'm not alive. Yeah. I've learned from experience that salvation is real. Not because you know a day or hour or time, not remember when you walked the aisle and signed the car, but because something has radically changed in you. Old Brother Avery used to say this, you know you're saved because you respond. Yes. If there's life inside of you, it responds. Response. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you have a different response. You have a desire for the things of God. You're born with an appetite. I mentioned that the other week. You're born hungry for the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God and you hear the Word of God, it affects you on the inside. There's a time that you could go in and out of a Sunday school class, go in and out of church, and it was just boring and dead and didn't get anything out of it. But now when the Word of God's preached and when you read it yourself, there's a response on the inside of your heart. Sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's deep conviction. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it is instruction. But God ministered to your heart through the Word of God. And if you have no response to the work of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God, then you're probably not saved. Is there a response? Does God deal with your heart? Does the Word of God bless you? Do you have a desire to know the Word of God? Is it in there? We have the witness of the Spirit, the Bible says, in our own heart. Does the Holy Spirit of God live inside of you? I've learned from experience that it's real. Now, I can list all these things for you. But how many of you could say this morning beyond any shadow of a doubt that you know that something happened inside your life and now you love the Word of God, you hunger for the Word of God? That doesn't mean you read it day and night, but you are responsive to the Word of God. Raise your hand. You know what I'm saying is so. Amen. Now that is experience. That's not Bible college education. That is experience. People who raise their hand on that occasion, they know that from experience. And the Bible said we have the witness of the Spirit in ourselves. Now, how does the Holy Spirit of God witness to you? He said in John, these things have I written to you. Believe on the name of the Son of God, you might know that you have eternal life. The Holy Spirit of God makes that real to you. If the Spirit of God lives inside of you, he's a great big God, and he deals with you. He's in there. There's times that he will convict you when you do things and say things. I mean, just as soon as you do something wrong or you think something wrong, there's something inside of you, boy, that just affects you. The word is used in the Bible sometime of grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God. It means that he is responsive. He recoils at sin. And when you have sin in your thought or in your life somewhere, he begins to deal with you about it. He begins to speak to you about it. The Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You have that inside of you. Do you have inside of your heart a desire for the Word of God? And somebody said, Brother Bill, I thought I got saved, but I must not have got saved because something happened the other day and I got mad and I said an ugly word. I cussed. And I said, how'd you feel? He said, I felt terrible. I said, well, congratulations, you're saved. The only people that can cuss not feel bad is Baptists. Say amen. But saved folk, when they disobey God and they do things they ought to, the Holy Spirit of God, you have the witness of God in yourself. And so if you don't have any convicting power, presence of the Holy Spirit of God, when you do wrong, you're not saved. I've learned from experience about that. Boy, he'll check us. I mean, just as soon as you think something or say something, Boy, you can feel it just like that. It's almost like he slaps you upside the head. Just that quick. I've learned from experience that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of every believer. And that if we disobey Him, if we disobey Him, He convicts us and speaks to our heart. Now, if you don't have that, you're probably not saved. But I've learned from experience that when you get saved, you got a hunger for the Word of God. I've learned by experience that salvation isn't real and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And He is the witness inside of us that deals with our hearts and puts a love in our heart for the things of God, the presence of God. You know what? I love to be around the saints of God. I really do. I love to be around the saints of God. Now, when I got saved, began to live for the Lord, I have a lot of friends who were lost. My friendship with them did not change. I didn't give up any of my lost friends. But a lot of my lost friends gave me up. Because I knew I was a sinner saved by grace and I wasn't any better than they were. And I loved them and I prayed for them and I want to be around them. But after a while, they get to where they just don't feel comfortable around you. Amen. And it's not because you're repulsive or you're stupid or something like that. It's just because there's a difference in you and them. But I found that wherever I've been around the world, and God's let me go into Germany and into the Philippines and other places and all across this country, I don't care where I'm at, when I get around the saints of God, there's a witness of the Spirit between us. And I just love to be around the saints of God. The other night, I talked to Tom Feliciano in the Philippines. I talked to a friend down in Georgia. I talked to a trucker that was New Jersey. He was in New Jersey. And even on the phone, there was a connection with Tom in the Philippines and with the folk that talked with me from other places across the country and down in Alabama. There's just some abiding. You know what the Bible said? It describes it like this in the book of 1 John. He said, we know we passed from death and life because we love the brethren. Now, you can read that in the Bible, but I know it by experience. Do you know that by experience? Do you love to be around the saints of God? Do you love to be around the house of God? Do you love to fellowship with God's people? Or do you feel uncomfortable around the saints of God? When people talk about praying and witnessing and being faithful to God, had you rather be somewhere else? Well, if that's your case, then you're probably not saved. Because saved people, the Bible said, God, He said, those who have been born again, they love the brethren. I've learned from experience that salvation's real. The Holy Spirit of God lives in every believer. He convicts us of our sin. He gave me an appetite for the Word of God. He caused me to love the brethren. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. But there's a lot of other things I've learned by experience. I've learned from experience that you can't outgive the Lord. You can't outgive the Lord. Will you look over the book of Luke chapter number 6, verse 38? Luke chapter number 6 and verse 38. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, here's a very familiar verse, and I trust it'll be a blessing to your heart this morning. Listen to what our Lord says in chapter 6 and verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, whither shall it be measured to you again? That's a biblical principle. And I've learned this from experience. You cannot outgive the Lord. Now, I have watched over the years God's people. And I've been in church a long time, been around God's people a lot of time. I have watched the experiences of God's people. There's some folk always around the house of God that are takers. And they are needers. Takers and needers. And then there's some that are givers. And I've watched over the years that you cannot outgive the Lord. If you honor God and you'll give and be a blessing to others and blessing to the work of God and be faithful to give to God, I'm telling you, God will bless and reward you. He'll do that. And it's a biblical principle. Now, I have done that. Regina and I have done that in our own life. And I can't tell you how God's been good to us, how God's blessed us. Can I tell you? God is so good to us. Not just a little while ago, Regina and I, God led us and we gave just a little bit of money to a friend in another country. And God burdened our heart, and we gave it to him. And can I tell you, now listen to this, you don't believe this. The exact figure, within 3 weeks, God gave us 100-fold. 100-fold. Well, that's in the Bible. And I'm just telling you, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm just telling you the truth. I've learned from experience. You cannot outgive the Lord. And if you'll be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, and when he prompts you, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have $1,000, God's not going to tell you to give $1,000. If whatever God prompts you, and it may be $5, because see, God's got a way of growing us. He considers our frame that we'll be dust, and God may burden your heart to say, I want you to give $5 to this person or to this ministry or to this thing or to that. You need to learn that God is not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you, and he wants to bless you. And if you'll learn to give, boy, you think about that little old boy came that day and he had 5 loaves and 2 little fishes, and he gave that to the Lord, and the Lord broke it and blessed it. And when he got through, he gave him 12 basketfuls. Now that's a big return, isn't it? That principle, I've learned that by experience. You cannot outgive the Lord. And if you learn that, boy, you'll be so happy in the Lord. You cannot outgive the Lord. I remember when Brother Tom Gillum was here and he was preaching and talking about giving. And you know, God's so good to us and God's blessed us so many ways. But Brother Tom said this. He said, God in evangelism, you know, no salary and no weekly salary, just living by faith from church to church. And he said, God began to deal with his heart about giving. And he said he went into the evangelism. And I know Brother Tom, he only had 2 revivals scheduled when he resigned his church, went into evangelism. And he said, I had bills and everything. And he said, but I was praying that God would do something and God would do this and God would do that. And he said, I remember one occasion, he said that he needed a certain amount of money. And he was praying and asking God, God, please do this. God, please do this. And he said that he got this call to go to this church. And he went and he just knew good and well that God was going to meet the need. And he said he went, and when he preached, he said he looked at the offer and he said it wasn't hardly nothing. I mean, compared to what he needed. And he was kind of cast down. And said then he got home and his mail had run, and he opened the envelope, and he said, man, this is it right here. And it was an envelope from somebody he didn't know. And he started just looking, praising God. When he opened it, he said it was just a drop in the bucket. And he said God had forgot all about his answering his big prayer need. And he said, then he got a call to go preach somewhere on Wednesday night. And he went and preached, and way off somewhere, and he went and preached. And he said, I know good and well that God is going to answer prayer. Here it is. And miraculously, this little small congregation of people, and God's going to meet the need. And he said, after he preached and they gave him his love offer, he went and he stopped on the side of the road. And he opened it up. And he said it was just about $100. That wasn't nowhere near what he needed. And he said he was cast down riding all the way down that mountain. And said when he came into the little town where he lived, he said right down the street from him was an old man and woman. And he said when he started down the road, the Holy Ghost of God said, Tom, you stop and you give them people that check. And he said, Lord, it ain't near about enough. And he said, I ain't near what I need. And you want me to give that away? And he said he almost went past, but he pulled up in the yard. And the old man on the porch, he walked up and he said, I'm just going to tell you, God told me to give you this. And Tom said he backed out and said he went on down the road. And he said, I don't know, curiosity got the best of him. He come back. And he said, when he come back, he said, him and that old man, his wife was on the front porch holding that check up. And he said they were doing the dido, dancing around. And said they were just laughing and praising God and waving that check, just having a time. And the Holy Ghost God said to him, Tom, if you'd act like that when I give it to you, you could have kept it. But he said, God taught him a lesson that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he said, he started giving. He said, can I testify? And he said, right in this pulpit, here's what he said. He said, I have given myself out of debt. I've given myself out of debt. Can I tell you, you'll learn that lesson. I'm not preaching to get anything out of you. God doesn't want to get anything out of you. He said, if you'll give, it'll be given unto you. You need to learn that lesson by experience. You say, well, that's just preacher talk. I can't help it. You just need to learn it by experience. How many of you, I'm no dollar figures in mind, and people are looking at me like they don't believe what I'm saying, but how many of you sitting in here can say beyond any shadow of doubt, you've learned by experience that you can't outgive the Lord, raise your hand. Hallelujah. That's by experience. That's not because they just read the Bible, believe the Bible, but they do believe the Bible. But they believe the Bible, they practice it, and they understand that you can't outgive the Lord. I tell you something else I've learned by experience. I've learned by experience, and I'll skip over a few of these things just quickly. I've learned that God will make a way when there is no way. I'm telling you right now, God will do that for you. I've learned by experience. I've come to many a River Jordan. I've come to many a Red Sea. And God can make a way where there is no way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He'll let you do a whole lot of praying. And he'll get you to the point where you cannot do anything about it sometime. And when he comes through right on time. But I've learned he'll make a way where there's no way. I just testify to you that, and I got to go on. I've learned by experience that sin has a payday. The Bible says that be sure your sins will find you out. And I promise you that sin has a payday. There's never been anybody so conniving and so shrewd that they could hide their sin forever. They might could hide it from the government. They might can hide it from the wife. They might can hide it from friends or from a banking institution. But God knows. And the Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. And whatever sin is in your life and whatever sin you committed that you think nobody knows about, I promise you, God will have a payday for that sin. I've learned by experience, can I tell you, that that you cannot hide your sin. You say, well, you old preacher. Absolutely. Absolutely. David was a man of God. But I've learned by experience that sin has a payday. I love that old saying, sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll take you further than you want to go. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin has a payday. And there's a payment on your sin and my sin. Disobedience has a consequence. But I want to say to you quickly, I've learned by experience that He can forgive and cleanse from all of your sin. Every one of them. Every one. He said, so far as the Christian's concerned, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you'll confess your sin, be honest with God, He'll forgive you and cleanse you of every one of them. As a believer, I believe the Word of God teaches that you ought to list them or you ought to name them. You know what they are. Holy Spirit of God's inside of you, and you need to be honest. But it's not one thing that you've done that if you'll be honest with Him, He will not forgive and cleanse. On some occasions, you may have to do some restitution. He'll forgive you. And it make everything right. But there may be some other people involved that you have to go to talk to, and get right with them. That's part of the process. But I've learned from experience that God will forgive you of every sin if you'll confess it. I've learned from experience, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's a simple, simple gospel. That the Lord Jesus Christ loved you and He died for you. He bore your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And He's alive forevermore. And that if you call on Him, He'll save you. I've been doing this now for 44 years. 44 years preaching. I wouldn't keep doing it if I had to talk people into living a Christian life. I wouldn't keep doing it if I had to teach people to go to heaven. But I can preach the gospel. And I've learned from experience that any person who will believe can be saved and go to heaven. They can go to heaven. I've learned from experience that the gospel still works. It's still powerful. It's still able to save to the utmost. In revival service in Bladenboro this week, there's a big old guy sitting on the back row. Great big old burly man. He just got saved just before I went down there. Somebody in that church had a burden for him. The church had been praying for him, and he got saved, and he came to revival. And that man testified, and here's what he said. I heard him, people going by. He said, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying for me. I talked to him, gave him some CDs, tried to encourage him in the Lord, and God saved him. I mean, he wasn't a young man. He wasn't a young man. He's in his early 50s. But God saved him. And the gospel still works. I've learned from experience the gospel still works. Now you say, Brother Billy, I like going to church. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with going to church. I like hearing the choir. I'm glad. I like hear you preach. I hear a lot of people say that. I appreciate that. And I'm human enough and I like that. People say, I just like to hear you preach. I had somebody, Timmy, down there this week. It's kind of like old Miss Peacock told one time. She said, "Preach, I love to hear you read the Bible." Nobody ever told me that, because you know how I read. I leave out words, change words, everything. And she said, "I love to hear you read the Bible." She said, "Because you read it like a third grader, and I can understand it." But I had somebody tell me, came out that very, very sincere, and said, "Brother Billy, I will tell you, this has been a wonderful week." And they said, "You make everything so simple, so simple." And can I say from experience that God Himself has made it simple. Yeah. It's a simple thing. He made it so I could understand it. Not very complicated. But it's not that you like preaching or you like church or anything, but it's that you have experienced the new birth. Will you bow your heads and pray with every head bow, every eye closed? Have you experienced? Could you say from experience this morning that God has blessed you for Christ's sake? Can you say from experience that salvation is real? Not because you read it in the book or the Bible, not because just intellectually you believe it, but you have experienced it. If you didn't ever have another Bible, has there been a change made in your life? Are you different now? Was there a radical change that took place, and the things you used to love you now hate, the things you hated now you love? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Do you love the brethren? Do you love the church? Do you want to grow? Do you respond to the Word of God? Does the Holy Spirit of God live inside of you? Does He direct you, convict you when you do things wrong? Do you feel that? Are you aware of His presence? You say, "Well, I got baptized when I was little." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the reality that it's real now. It's real. I remember on such and such a day, preacher, I walked down the aisle and shook the preacher's hand. I'm not talking about that either. I'm talking about, do you know from experience that you have been changed drastically and you've got a new nature inside of you? You know it. You know it. Have you learned the wonderful truth that you cannot outgive God? To be sensitive to Him and to share and give, and it may not include hundreds of dollars. It may be $5. It may be $2. But you've learned to be responsive. And when the Holy Ghost of God nudges you, you've learned to give, and God's rewarded you 100-fold. God's so good. Have you learned from experience that God can make a way when there is no way? That's one of the joys of the Christian experience. Nobody likes to go through hard times, difficult times. But when you look around and look back and see how God came through and what God did for you and how God blessed you, there's so many more I could help you share with you that God's helped me with. I've learned that weeping may endure for the night, but joy does come in the morning. I've learned that in your weakest time, your time of sorrow and discouragement, that He's standing somewhere in the shadows. I've learned that while He often puts more on you than you can bear, He'll never put more on you than He can bear. I've learned that from experience. I've learned from experience that you can't hide your sin. Your sin will find you out. And God is behind all of that. But I've also learned from experience that God, the Holy Spirit, He'll cleanse you. He said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is there a man or woman, a boy or girl here who'd say to me, Brother Billy, honestly, nobody's looking, every head's about to be closed. Brother Billy, I can tell you I've been a church member. I can tell you I have enjoyed attending church. But I cannot honestly say that by experience, I know that the new birth is real. Because I don't evidence in the things you talked about. I don't have the assurance of the Holy Ghost in my heart, the witness of the Spirit. And preacher, I need that. I want that. I want to be born again. I want to experience the new birth and know it for sure. No one's looking, every head's bowed. Would you be honest before the Lord and say, preacher, that's what I need worse than anything in the world. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray with you this morning. Nobody's sitting but me and the Lord. Preacher, I need that. I need to be changed drastically. I know I can't do it, but I know God can. Preacher, pray with me that I could do that. Anybody? Across this great congregation this morning. Anybody? Anybody? The Bible said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. I love to hear preaching. I love to be around the house of God. But oh, what I have experienced with the Lord. I love to hear men preach the Bible and show me great truths of the Bible. But oh, what an experience if you're somewhere, just you and the Bible and the Holy Ghost, and God shows you something. Oh, what an experience that is. I hope you experience that. I hope you know that. I hope you've had encounters with God and you know that God's real and you know that you're saved. I pray you know that. I didn't preach on this morning, but I just have it in my spirit this morning. You say, Brother Billy, I know he's real. I know he's able. Right now in my own life, I'm going through that dark place. I'm in that nighttime of weeping. I'm in that place where I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm not on a mountaintop. I'm going through that valley. And can I tell you, I am sure thankful for God's people praying for me when I go through those times. You say, Brother Billy, I know all you said is so this morning. I believe with all my heart that I know him and I'm saved, but I need a touch from heaven and I'm going through that dark place. Preacher, pray for me. Would you raise your hand across this building this morning? God bless you, my friends. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray in the strong name of Jesus, God, that the Spirit of the living God spoke to hearts this morning. God, I pray they'd understand that their relationship with you is not one of theory. It's not one just of imagination, but it's real. There's reality to it. And God, I pray they know from experience that they've been born again. They know it. Not because some preacher told them and not because they signed some card, but God, because they have experienced you and they know it from experience. I pray, God, they know that. And God, if they don't know that, I pray, God, for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God and make them very uncomfortable. I pray, God, they'd find no rest day nor night until they find rest in you. And God, they experience what you wanted them to experience, the joy of sins forgiven and the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And God, there may be some here this morning, God, who walk with a cloud of sin. They have something in their heart of life that ought not to be there. And the sweet Holy Ghost of God has been faithful. He's made them miserable and convicted them, and they know it. And God, I pray this morning that God, they'd find sweet release as they confess it and get things right with you. And God, they know by experience, there's not one thing they've done that, God, you won't forgive and cleanse if they'll be honest and just confess it. God, I pray that some, Lord, who've been hesitant to give and you've been dealing with them about some area of giving, I pray they'd be responsive. God, I pray you deal with hearts. In the strong name of Jesus, while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Brad, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to sing a verse of a song for us. And let me encourage you this morning. If God spoke to your heart in some way and if you responded in your spirit, Number one, if God dealt with you, if God spoke to you, God encouraged you, God blessed you, or the Holy Ghost of God was just jumping up and down inside of you saying, amen, amen, amen. Boy, you'll just get around this altar and thank Him. That for you, it's not just theory. It's real. Thank God that you're saved, that you're saved, that you're saved, that you're saved, and you know it.